It's Tuesday, the 4th of May, and it's time for Trigrinum with the Grincast. Here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Rhodes.
Hello.
Nikki.
Hello.
And Winx.
Hello.
Sorry for the hesitation there. I wrote a joke into the start earlier this week based on something that was said in a private Discord channel. And I tripped over that when I was reading it out.
Oh, I just thought you forgot who I was.
I changed the name of Greencast to Pusecast.
Oh yeah, we've been doing
Pusecast. Yeah, oh yeah.
Right, main topic for today, we're going to talk about all the games we want Puse to be the main character in.
Can it just be Puse? We just talk about Puse for an hour.
No, yeah, just talk about great Puses for an hour.
But we all have to speak in like a nice northern accent as well.
I mean, I used to speak like a farmer, so I'm not going back.
You can't make me go back.
You'll never take me alive.
Right, we'll start. I mean, we've already started, but as we always do with what's people bins planes this past week. Rhodes, take us away.
Righto. All right. Let me talk to you about the game I've been playing called The Uncertain Light at the End. It already sounds terrible. I know. It is. It's fucking really bad.
Are you just talking about life or just about to die or what?
Oh, this game, Light at the End, or The Uncertain. I don't know. It's a bad name. It's a bad name for a game for a start, right? This game, the best way I can describe my experience with this game, right, is that before I started reviewing it, there was like a big like Steam post and the devs were like, oh, hey, there's been a major update. And we've added like the ability to skip dialogue and we've added some fixes and reworks and we've updated the graphics and we've done all this. And I was like, oh, cool. So I had a little like post-launch work then. That's cool. You know, maybe I had a few issues, but it should be nice and clean now. And I booted it up and I was like, fuck me. Imagine how awful this game was before you did all of this. Jesus. Holy shit.
This is Dead Island levels are bad.
No, Dead Island's good. Like, oh, this wow. This is... Right, that's the best way. Like, I sent a message to Ace when I first started playing it. All right, and the first, because it's got like a branching dialogue tree. The first dialogue options you get are the following: avoid answering, keep silent, or stay silent. And I was like, look, game, right? I don't want to jump to conclusions here, but I've got a feeling those three options are not going to leave me down wildly different paths. I think they're all going to take me in the same direction because they all mean the same thing.
No, if you keep silent, that kills the main character. If you stay silent, then it changes the game into a puzzle game, tile-based puzzle game.
And if you don't comply with answering the question, the game ends and it's a significantly better experience as you're murdered right there and then. Oh boy, it was it's one of those games where all the characters hate each other as well. Like, they all just bicker. Like, they don't hate each other, they just bicker. And you're just sat there going, wouldn't life be better if you all just like get killed by the robots? Because clearly you're not happy with your living conditions at the moment. Maybe you should go your separate ways. Like, it's an abusive relationship, except there's like 9 of you. Please stop.
Sorry, it's an abusive relationship, but there's 9 of you.
Unbelievable. Bloody boomers. Yeah.
Sorry, just going back to how you started that with the name of the game. Remind me of earlier this morning. Had an email with the snappy headline. Critically acclaimed, punishing, Grey Raven, set for worldwide Android and iOS launch.
Look, I think it perfectly summarizes the Uncertain Light at the End that I spoke about it. And Ace, after listening to me speak about it, has gone, oh, that's just reminded me of my emails this morning. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Do you think that light at the end of the tunnel was actually just hellfire?
I don't think there was a light at the end of the tunnel.
It was the light at the end of the tunnel, the light that was inside us all along.
The light at the end of the tunnel was the right-click and uninstall option on Steam.
Okay, Nikki, what about you?
Hello. Well, I'm going to take liberties and actually speak about two games, because I think it would be a disservice to... Because I want to talk about a particular game, but it would be a disservice not to provide an update on the Girls in Panzer development following last week's episode. Because, long-time listeners will know, I finally opened it on the episode. Hurt everyone's ears. You're welcome for that weird ASMR of me trying to get cellophane off a Switch box one-handed.
No, I turned that bit down quite low.
Oh, damn it. But yeah, so been playing it. I did a 2-hour stream of it on the Game Grin Twitch channel. It's a heck of a lot of fun. And trying to explain the weird, I guess, lore of that game on stream made me realize just how bizarre it is. Like the 5-minute segment where I had to try and explain that one particular team are technically Nazis, but they're not because of the Japanese team, but they just happen to use the Nazi tanks. So they're not really Nazis, but maybe. And then we went back to shooting girls in tanks. Even saying it now, I'm still like, huh. But yeah, so it's good. I'm enjoying it. I'm going to try some online at some point. But the game I want to talk about is is Metal Gear Survive.
Oh, no.
Because, all right, so the Golden Week sale on Steam kicked off. It's a big sale of lots of Japanese developed and published games because Golden Week is the biggest holiday in Japan. It's a week-long holiday. And just, I was having a look, and I'm thinking, I don't need to buy any more games. And Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes is less than £2. And I'm like, that's a banger of a game. I own it twice. Let's get it for a third time. Noticed that MGS5 Definitive Edition comes with it. And that was only £6. Win. And as I'm playing through this and just like talking about how great the port is in Discord with Puce, of all people, we got on to the subject of Metal Gear Survive. Because I played Metal Gear Survive. I loved Metal Gear Survive. I don't know why, but I did. So I started... And the question came up from Yusuf, is it still online? And I stopped playing MGS5 and went, right, I'm going to reinstall it and find out right now. And lo and behold, MGS Survive, Metal Gear Survive, oh my god, these titles. Not only are the Metal Gear Survive 5 servers still up, right? The Metal Gear Survive servers are still up. And to make things even weirder, I log in, there's an event right now. There's an event that finishes, I think, tomorrow. The game is still going and still getting updates and is still being played by quite a few people. And it blew mine and Puce's mind to the point that Puce has now bought the game and we played some of it last night in co-op. And holy crap, that game has no right to be as fun as it is in co-op. And as a matter of fact, Rhodes, you started reinstalling it as well.
Yeah, I reinstalled it last night. I did the intro and then I threw a mouse at the window and uninstalled it again because it's absolutely atrocious. Holy shit, that fucking stick, that spear you get at the start.
So here's the weird thing, though. So I finished the game. I powered through it, had a, you know, enjoyable experience as far as survival games go. But whilst I was talking to Puce, we were like, oh, there's all these extra things you can do. Why can't I do them? Turned out I hadn't finished the game. So finished the game. Unlocked the end game, and it's just ridiculous how much more fun it gets. It's kind of sad that you have to put like 20, 30 hours in to get to that point. But it's just like, I can't get over how enjoyable it is. And I feel dirty actually saying, like everything I'm saying, like the fact I'm talking positively about Metal Gear Survive makes me feel dirty inside.
That's because we're shaming you silently.
Yeah, I'm not doing it silently. I'm shaming you outwardly.
Like people, you know, mock me for Gacha. No, screw you. Mock me for Metal Gear Survive. No, go for it, please. But yeah, so I'm playing Metal Gear Survive again.
That's a punish, Nikki.
Like fucking hell, it's punishing me.
Also, screw you, Ace. Punished. What? I've already forgotten the name of the fucking mobile game, but the fucking gray punishing mobile game is a great title. Screw you.
I've already remembered it.
I'm on the fucking warpath this week, aren't you? Holy shit!
I've got no issue with the game title. It's the way that the email is the word
because can't backtrack now
because the game has a colon in it. It changes how you read the email.
Is it not to go on a tangent, but is it maybe just because I'm so dyslexic that I don't realize it's wrong?
Usually, it should say critically acclaimed game Punishing Gray Raven, instead of critically acclaimed punishing Grey Raven set for, because it's saying that the critically acclaimed punishing, which wow. the name of Grey Raven, is set for a worldwide Android.
I think Winks, what have you been playing?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think I'll do a curveball as well, Nikki. I've been playing two games. I've been playing more games, but two of them have a running theme of being puzzlers. I've been playing The Witness with my family and just passing the controller off and on. It's been a lot of fun. It's such a gorgeous game. And I love little perspective Easter eggs it does. But oh my god, it's so cruel. Like, unjustly so. Like, to the point where, I don't know, it just throws some... I know the game, like, throws some, like, impossible puzzles on purpose, you know, so that you can, you know, go off and solve it later. Like, you'll come back, learn what the heck you're supposed to do and come back. But it's this... The Witness is really mean. It's like playing with someone who, like, changes the rules midway and then just blames you for not being psychic. Like, and I feel like I'm getting bullied by a sentient Windows XP screensaver. It's so beautiful, but I feel like I'm being dominated, and I don't like it. It's a weird relationship that we have with The Witness. And then on the other end, I'm playing another puzzle game called Dark Sheep. So where The Witness is like a 3D third person puzzle game, Dark Sheep is like a 2D retro top down block pusher, but instead of blocks, you push sheep. And I kind of dig that. I like sheep. I like pushing blocks, but then it kind of gets a bit dark. Like, start like sacrificing the sheep, and I'm like, I don't like this. And it's like part of this weird cult. Don't know what it is this year, but I've been playing a lot of games where you either have a lot of cats, or it's like devil worship. And I don't know what that says about my year, but yeah. But especially Dark Sheep. I think, is it called Dark Sheep? Yeah, it's called Dark Sheep. There's like one glaring problem that it has, and it's like two things that don't mix together are puzzles and just harsh, repetitive, annoying, bit-crushed music that like loops every 30 seconds. And I had to take like a proper break from it, like at least twice or three times today. Not because it was hard or anything, but it's just incessant bleating and weird, like, just, it was too much. It was absolutely too much. But yeah, and that's what I've been playing. A lot of puzzlers and I'm puzzled.
That sound. What was that? How did you even create that noise? You've got like dial-up internet or something. I swear to God.
I am part dial-up. I'm part broadband.
We've got to remake Police Academy and Winks, you are Jonesy.
I'll take it.
Again, myself played a number of things, but the thing I want to talk about is Sniper Ghost Warrior Contracts 2. The preview went up on the site earlier today, so you can find out more about the game. And it's pretty good. Sure, this when I played the first game for the preview back in November 2019, I went and shot six people. I talked about it on the podcast. I've been very upfront, and those people were fine with me shooting them.
Consensual, I see.
It was consensual. That's right. And this time it was on Discord, so I didn't actually get to run around and shoot people with handguns or sniper rifles or automatic rifles. But in the game I did. I got to play the first level, which is set out. So it introduces these long shots. So you've got to kill these targets that are about a kilometer or more away from your sniper perch. You can't like go run over to where they are and stab them in the neck or something. If you leave the mission area, you fail. You have to kill them somehow with sniper rifle, whether it's shoot them or blow up their vehicle as they're escaping or what have you. And it's pretty good. It's for a series that's called Sniper Ghost Warrior Contracts. It's the first time where you actually have to snipe from far, far distances. In the previous games, it was optional. You could just run in there and stab everyone in the neck. But this one, you have multiple targets in a level, and you have to go from your insertion point to your sniper perches, and there's usually enemies in the way, so them you can stab in the neck. Look, that's the takedown. There's not a non-lethal takedown. If you interrogate them, you still stab them in the neck. That's why I'm using that as an example, because you do stab people in the neck.
So you're not a lawyer, like giving out contracts and drafting contracts for snipers.
That's right. That's that's a different game that has not been made.
Next year,
I'll petition CI Games and Sniper Ghost Warrior lawyer,
contract lawyer for you.
If you want to read about the game, read more of my thoughts, then go to the preview on GameGreen.com. Something else that was on GameGreen.com was 15 minutes of the Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart gameplay. It was shown at the State of Play. We put the video up on the site, and it's certainly 15 minutes of gameplay.
It was beautiful. It was pretty.
Yeah, it was good. I get the feeling that someone at Insomniac said, how about we use portals in the next game? And someone said, hold my beer.
I think, yeah, the rift jumping looks really cool. Like, yeah. I was wondering even, has that been done before in VR? And if so, can I drift through the rifts? Just so I can say drift rift.
Why?
Why? I've been racking my brain trying to come up with what the double entendre is about Rift Apart, because
I think it's Drift Apart, right?
Because, well, that's not an entendre.
Oh, whoops.
There's with the PlayStation 2 games, there was Going Commando and Up Your Arsenal. and others. But yeah, Rift Apart doesn't really, there's no dirty version of that, not a well-known saying anyway.
Maybe they've moved away from that. Maybe they've matured.
I hope not, otherwise Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart will be boring.
No,
I've heard a lot of mixed things about this. I mean, I watched the gameplay. It looks awesome. I mean, I don't have a PS5, but like, I'm looking forward to eventually getting to play it. But a lot of people have like, yeah, some people seem really excited about it. Some people say like, oh, no, it's too close to that 2016 remake they did, or whatever, whenever that remake came out. 2016 sounds too early. But like, yeah, people seem either on the fence or super, super excited. And I've not played enough Ratchet games to like be able to make an informed decision, but it looks pretty and has shootiness.
It does look more cyberpunkier than Cyberpunk 2077. And that's got that going for it. At least it looks dense in the in the environment. But I laughed when the game director he was saying how there are so many people just bustling about, and then the shot you see is like completely empty, but a robot at like a kiosk.
Sounds like Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
I think I found the answer to you on Tonda, Ace. Rather than Rift Apart, people believe it should just be Ripped Apart. Switch the F and the P around. There you go. Look, you wanted immature humor. I found you in immature humor. Laugh for me. Thank you.
Something that's not a laugh is PlayStation's cross-platform play. They've always lagged behind other platforms, Rocket League, Minecraft, Fortnite. It turns out that's because they're greedy. In the Epic Games versus Apple legal case, some documents have surfaced that communication between Epic and Sony, where basically Epic have said, hey, Fortnite's really big on PlayStation. We're going to get what we want anyway, so come on, do crossplay. And PlayStation have basically said, no one can explain how cross-console play improves the PlayStation business. So eventually, people started paying Sony some money. And that's when the magic of cross-platform play was possible.
Ugh, gross.
They're the only console manufacturer who get paid for cross-platform. That's Microsoft and Nintendo do not. So, yeah, for the players.
Sony's always been a bit coy about that kind of stuff. It's like, come on, play with the other consoles, be nice. And this has been like reluctantly been like, no. And then obviously had to find a way to make some money out of it. But I'm glad it's like brought to light because, man, it's shady.
Yeah, they weren't too happy about these documents being, coming into the wider, the eyes of the wider world.
Why?
Because they're greedy. The documents do say attorney's eyes only, so is The Verge where I'm reading these breaking the law? Am I breaking the law by reading these? Are you breaking the law by listening to me break the law by reading these?
It's just like the fucking interactable part of the podcast where we get people to write in. Let us know your thoughts on law breaking here at Game Grin.
I'll just leave some silence here, give you time to email in.
Yeah, we'll wait.
We'll play that new theme for you all so you can get a bit more used to it.
Everyone loves it.
This is a fact. This has been scientifically proven. If you play the theme song to nobody, then you can argue that you have 100% satisfaction.
What people don't realize is that we actually paid Sony for the rights to use that theme song every week. It's terrible. The money they're stealing from small companies is awful.
All our money was going to Not Wings.
Oh man, that's where it's going. Oh, she's off somewhere doing something good,
gallivanting through the Bahamas.
Whose eyes are they only for again?
The like lawyers, I think.
So that's okay. So we need to steal lawyer eyes so we can read it legally. So get your.
Aren't we just getting into a different crime by doing that?
I mean, if we get another lawyer to, you know, back us up while we put on our eye-plucking gloves on, then we'll win, right?
Maybe. Sure, if we're listening to it, we're not using our eyes, so it's okay.
Yeah. Hey, there we go. Put Texas speech on. Siri, play the terms and conditions.
Wait, what?
No.
No. next news story. Segue. So it was circulating recently that quote unquote everyone had been sacked from the developer Toys for Bob, and Activision have said no, that's not true. It's not suffered any layoffs, and they're working on Crash Bandicoot 4 and Call of Duty as well.
That's a lie. They're suffering. They're suffering for working for Call of Duty.
They're actually just playing They're just putting Crash Bandicoot skins in Warzone, and then they'll be sacked.
Are Activision paying Sony for Crash Bandicoot?
No, I don't think so. Don't they own the right to Crash Bandicoot? Oh, well, yeah. I mean, who doesn't pay Sony for something? I wouldn't be shocked if Microsoft were paying them for bloody Game Pass at this point.
They say them to use Blu-ray.
Crash Bandicoot was supposed to be Sony's answer for Sonic the Hedgehog originally, so I wouldn't be surprised if they said, yeah, Activision, you can use him, you can buy him off of us, and also keep paying us annually.
To be fair, Crash Bandicoot far surpassed Sonic the Hedgehog very quickly, so ironic considering how fast that Hedgehog runs.
I was just going to say, silence is palpable.
I think the thing that I take away from this, though, is it's all well and good Activision saying, no, they're still working on Crash, don't worry. What they probably mean is, like, it's just Jeff in the corner. Just him.
Yeah, probably helping support that new mobile game, aren't they?
Yeah, and then they'll probably fire him in like a few weeks anyway. Yeah. Because it's Activision.
They denied there were any layoffs. So that, of course, means there are going to be layoffs.
Well, someone said that they were laid off. Like, they worked in the team and they were laid off. Like
a character designer, though. One person being laid off doesn't mean everyone's been laid off.
But it does mean someone has been laid off. So if they're saying there's no layoffs, someone's lying here.
Shit. But no, you're right. Like, I mean, it's a tricky thing as well, because like we have to remember that Toys R Us are American, aren't they? It's an American company. Mm. Yeah. American employment law is BS. And you can just literally be laid off or fired on the spot. So it's possible that maybe, and I'm not, I hate that I'm playing devil's advocate, but it's possible that some people were just let go because it's just where they were in the project or they weren't needed anymore, which is still terrible and sucks. So maybe it's been blown out of proportion, but the ultimate outcome of this is that Toys of Bob are majority going to be working on Call of Duty. So I highly doubt there'll be a new Crash game. It's probably just going to be a skeleton crew supporting and patching for a bit, and then they'll just move them onto.
Well, as I said, it was a character designer, and if you're supporting a game that's already out and Call of Duty, you don't need all of your character designers.
Unfortunately. How many developers are working on the Call of Duty franchise right now? Because isn't it just like most of
Activision? I believe it's everyone under Activision.
Oh my God.
I believe, yeah. I think last week they moved all their teams to working on Call of Duty now.
What?
Because they have obviously the main three, Sledgehammer, Infinity Ward, and
Treyarch.
Like they take it year by year, making an actual full release, and then the rest are just on Warzone, I think.
Oh.
I wonder if I can find it actually.
Toys for Bob, for Call of Duty. Wow.
Toys for Bob. Toys for COD.
Toys for that's good. That's good. That's a title there.
Here you go. Toys for Bob is now working on Warzone Season 3 content. Raven Software has been a support studio for COD since 2010. Activision Shanghai is working on Call of Duty Online. Demonware. Sega.
Vicarious Visions, didn't they? Where do they go?
There's still half a list.
Oh, so, what?
Not finished, Wiggs.
Oh my God.
Activision Shanghai work on Call of Duty Online. Demonware does server support for Call of Duty. Former Transformers dev High Moon Studio does support for Call of Duty. Beenox has been working on COD since Black Ops 3, and then collectively Infinity Ward, Treyarch, and Sledgehammer take turns developing the main Call of Duty games as per the last decade.
Curious Visions got merged with Blizzard, and they're working on
that. Oh,
okay.
They made great Transformers games. They made the Deadpool game, and now support studio.
I mean, they make, to be fair, I'm pretty sure they are making Diablo 2 themselves.
Oh.
Is Activision still headed by Bobby Kotick?
Oh, yeah. Surely.
Let me check.
I'm just surprised that Beenox went from, like, was it not Spyro, Skylanders, and then just disappeared into the Call of Duty Codverse.
Spyro for Warzone when?
Well, Crash, Spyro, Call of Duty, merge when?
Bobby's the CEO of Activision Blizzard, yeah. And apparently a non-executive director of the Coca-Cola company, so he is literally the devil incarnated. Green cut. He's an asshole, that's what I'm trying to get at. He's literally a money-grabbing asshole.
Mm.
Like, you off Pachinko. Released a statement that they will not be at E3 due to timing, because E3 apparently snuck up on Konami this year.
I hate it when E3 randomly turns up every June. Fucking hell. Who run this company? Oh my God.
Scares me more than Silent Hill.
What do you mean E3 is happening this year?
Wasn't there an E2?
I like to imagine that, like, the head of Konami has just woken up. They've just been in like a bit, not even a coma, they've just been in a really good sleep. And they've just woken up and gone, oh, E3, when's that? It's like, what? We've missed like five. Like, oh, I'll just miss that one. Fuck it.
I like to think he woke up in a coma, from a coma of some kind, and then immediately rang Kojima and went, what are you working on? And he's like, no. Let me fill you in.
We can't connect your number. He's like, what?
Someone bring me Kojima. Why is Pro Evolution Soccer in the Fox Engine? What's going on here?
The statement did say, we want to reassure our fans that we are in deep development on a number of key projects, so please stay tuned for some updates in the coming months. Presumably the timing that they mean is that the time they have nothing to show.
Yeah, I imagine for an online E3, it's really hard to get people paying money into pachinko machines on the floor, isn't it? So,
where there's a will, there's a way.
Okay, pachinko machine's ready for E3. Oh, it's online only. Well, why the fuck are we all still here? Just like laid off half the fuck. They probably did, actually.
Still on the topic of money-grubbing assholes, the board members of CG Projekt have decided to give out bonuses to themselves, ranging from $4 to $6 million. Employees have also got bonuses, but they're not getting millions of dollars.
I don't know if it's ironic or just on brand how cyberpunk corpo this is.
It's beautiful.
It is.
I think I read that the lowest bonuses in the business were something like $3,000. When you compare that to the higher numbers, it's a bit like, interesting.
Yeah, I saw a comment from someone on like Twitter that was like, why should an art director get millions more than QA, who you're probably not even paying enough already as it is?
To be fair, CD Projekt Red, based on the quality of Cyberpunk when it came out, probably only just realized they had a QA team to listen to, so...
They also had the same coma as the Konami chief.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got a game to release.
A spokesperson from CDP, Project Red, spoke to Jason Schreier from Bloomberg and said they'd allocated $29.8 million for bonuses to 865 employees and a further $28 million for bonuses to 5 board members.
That's
a lot of patting on the back.
Well, it's a lot of money to keep maintenance of that board.
Money aside, right? I've seen people refer to Cyberpunk as a flop. Does anyone agree with that sentence at all?
Well, I mean, no, because it was a success. Because it's a broken product doesn't mean it's a
flop. Financial success.
Yeah.
But the argument being is that although it is a financial success, so much of its sales were in like the first few days and in pre-orders, and the drop off from the initial release has been so astronomical that you could argue that the money it's missed out on is almost a flop.
Well, interestingly, they recently published a bunch of like board statistics, and I'm trying to find it to confirm, but I'm pretty sure it said something ridiculous, like they'd actually only refunded like 30,000 copies.
Yeah, they'd set money aside to refund something like 30,000 copies, I believe, which means I don't think they have necessarily done that, but they've set the money aside for it in case.
Yeah, it's weird and bizarre. I think I want to say that like it's a flop in the sense that like it's hurt them, but I don't think it has. I don't think it has. People are still saying it's amazing when in reality it's, you know.
I don't know. I don't really see that many people praising it, to be honest with you. I think for the most part it gets praised for its writing, which I do think is quite good, to be fair, and thus deserves the praise. But everyone is pretty much on the side of it's shit in every other aspect. And the whole point of Cyberpunk as well is it was meant to have so much like going forward, like for future content and online content, all that sort of stuff. And all of that is either on hold or just not going to happen now because they're just so busy putting out fires, which are also going to cost money, that the long-term money they could have got, like, is that going to dry up now? So, like, yeah, it's made a lot. Could have made a hell of a lot more, though.
Just having a quick look, this information is actually published on the company's Twitter. I don't know why they put their board slides on Twitter, but there you go. Apparently, they sold 13.7 plus million copies in 2020, with 37% of those being digital. And then, interestingly, only 17% were on Xbox One.
Wow.
And the budget... I'm assuming that's the budget for that for Cyberpunk was 1.2 billion PLN, which I assume is Polish. I don't know the Poland's currency, I'm afraid.
I can't pronounce it. But Zlotoy?
I don't know.
Yeah. And then, but interestingly as well, they had, just to kind of throw more to the argument, 3.1 plus billion ad impressions in the global digital campaign. Over 35 localized marketing campaigns. So, holy schmarty.
It'll be interesting to see what their sales for the past 3 or 4 months have been, though. Like, that they sold 30 million in last year, and that's in 1 month, and a lot of that's going to be pre-orders off the back of all the hype. It'll be interesting to see, because they themselves have admitted that the sales of that game dropped. So, it would be cool, well, not cool, but like interesting to see like how much it has actually dropped by.
Interesting is, yeah. I mean, if you look at The Witcher 3, you know, they did The Witcher 3 and they did the expansions, then they did like a Game of the Year edition and a Switch edition. Like, I wonder how, like, it'd be interesting when we look back maybe like a year, because the game is going to get DLC. It'd be interesting to look at that curve of sales, even if it's just like secondhand Steam data of like, does the DLC have a massive impact on sales? How many people are actually going to pick up the DLC, and when they eventually do that sort of Game of the Year edition, like, how many more is that going to bring on? Because I don't, you know, I'm probably not going to pick up any DLC. Like, I'd be lucky if I ever actually launch the game again. And I know so many people who are just done with it, and they maybe haven't even finished it. So I'd be curious to see, like, when they come out with actual DLC, will that make a big return? Like, how many of those 13 million sales will actually jump on? Will it even be a million? Who knows?
Would CDPR even, like, do they have the gall to even have, like, a Game of the Year edition, or will they just get completely shut down?
I mean, have you seen their loyal fans? They're like...
fair enough.
I think what's most interesting, I think, is that when it first came out in December, it had, like, a million concurrent players on Steam. And by the end of December, it had less concurrent players than Skyrim.
Everything eventually has fewer players than Skyrim.
True, but Skyrim is only like 30,000 or so. So to drop from a million to below that in, when did it come out? The 10th of December, I think?
Yeah.
So 3 weeks to drop from a million to less than 30,000?
I mean, according to, and obviously take this with a pinch of salt because this is not accurate information. I'll just write the disclaimer out there. Going via Steam charts, apparently the all-time peak for Cyberpunk 2077 was 830,000 ish, and apparently as of an hour ago about 13,000 people are playing, and it's a single player game.
Like, what is that compared to The Witcher 3 though? Like, because I bet that still gets more players.
Witcher 3, there are currently 18,000 people playing it, and for argument's sake, across, oh, bloody hell, across all the versions of Skyrim, so the original, special edition, and VR, there's about 28,000 people playing right now, according to Steam charts. So yeah, Skyrim, still more popular than Cyberpunk.
Skyrim is like a cockroach, isn't it? You can't kill it. Like, it just keeps chugging along.
Okay, our last news story takes us back to Epic Games Store. More of their documents, well, documents related to them more than Sony this time, at least. They've given us a look at, well, you know, since Epic Games Store opened, they've been giving away free games, one here, two there, a week worth all at once. I don't know. Don't know where I was going with that. But yeah, they've shown how much these quote-unquote free games are costing them. Some figures going back to 2019 show that, well, for instance, Super Meat Boy, that was grabbed by almost 2 million people and cost Epic $50,000. And then you have another well-known one, Metro 2033 Redux, that was grabbed 4.5 million times and cost them zero. Eesh. Not actually sure how that happened. I think the two big ones are Subnautica, grabbed over 4.6 million times, and they paid 1.4 million for all of those, which means that it cost them $1.74 per new Epic account that grabbed Subnautica.
Interestingly, though, GTA is not on there.
That was not given away in 2019.
Oh, my apologies.
Batman Arkham, it doesn't say which one that was because they gave away Asylum, City, and Night. But that cost them 1.5 million and was grabbed almost 6.5 million times.
You do. It's easy to see why these people are giving away their games for free, though. When you look at some of these, like, holy moly, like Slime Rancher, $500,000. That's.
When else was For Honor going to get $63,000?
Oh, nice.
Overcooked, $225,000.
Celeste was $750,000.
World of Goo, which is regularly under a pound on Steam, I think, $50,000.
It's interesting seeing some of these, though. Like, you see things like Celeste cost them $750,000. So it's like in the upper bracket of cost there. But in terms of like actual accounts made, it's quite low. So do you think like there's some of these that Epic like games really get wrong? Because I feel like people who want Celeste, they probably already bought it, really.
Yeah. Subnautica, as I said, $1.74 per new customer. Inside, $11.12.
Moonlight is $6.75.
I suppose the other thing to look at is whether or not they've been available on Steam. I imagine most of those probably have.
Wow. Yes, all of these were previously on Steam and are now available on Epic.
Epic.
But yes, certainly some interesting figures. I believe that more have been made available in the masses of court documents because Epic are burying Apple in paperwork, I assume. Yes, it's all super interesting, and
they're expecting to turn a profit by 2024, aren't they, on the store, Epic Games?
Yes.
So it's definitely a long con, no matter what whatever it is they're doing. It's so similar to like YouTube, how it would just make losses after year after year after year until they eventually started making money.
Well, they had Google on the back of that.
Well, yeah, but they've got Fortnite on the back of this, haven't they?
They're
like throwing infinite money from another source at another thing. To hopefully make more infinite money.
I mean, YouTube now makes the same. It makes more money per day than they actually paid when they bought it.
God damn. Right.
But we've trodden on these long enough. We'll switch over to our main topic. Which game environments do you know like the back of your hand?
Well, I guess for me, I couldn't really think of many because I've got a short-term memory like that, but GTA 5, I feel like I could be plopped into real world California and have some sort of bearing. It's kind of ridiculous how many times I've watched a film and been like, oh, you know, that's just near Vespucci Beach where it doesn't exist. It's Venice Beach. Oh, yeah. Oh, Vinewood. Like, I've actually caught myself saying Vinewood instead of Hollywood back when it came out, which is terrible. But yeah, I feel like GTA 5 for me, I once did a tour of the entire map just on a bike, as in like a pedal bike with me and a few friends. And that was fun, like a little Tour de France. And like stopping off, seeing the sights, you know, checking out little small routes. And yeah, I think just with that online component, you really get, like, you can really get into the map a lot, and therefore it's like ingrained into your brain more. But yeah, that'd be mine.
Okay. Most Counter-Strike maps for me. I mean, I know it's not like the easiest thing in the world to say, but it's, I just know where everything is, and I played it long enough. I'm pretty good with the OG Resident Evil as well. Resident Evil 1 and Resident Evil 2. Not Resident Evil 0, though, as everyone saw when I was on the stream. Got lost all the fucking time in that, which is incredible. It's just a train. Literally a straight line for the first 2 hours. Yeah, basically any game where you backtrack a lot that I played for many hours as a child, I've remembered quite well. Maybe out of just, like, fear, to be honest with you.
And Nikki?
I think the obvious one is Metal Gear, specifically the first one. Metal Gear Solid, sorry. Like, couldn't know that on the back of my hand. Weirdly, a lot of Destiny 2 maps, like the PvP maps, I could probably just, yeah, quite easily trace those. I can't, it sounds really weird, but like, it's not quite the same, but there was a time, because I used to play Spyro so much when I was younger, there was a time that I could tell you exactly what level it was just by the audio and even where you were in the level. But I have since lost that ability.
Oh, we could have put you in a blindfold and then just sent you off to go see how far you get.
Spread your wings. Be free.
I've previously mentioned on the podcast that when I learned that in the Yakuza games, you don't really have many new locations, so mostly set in Kamurocho, I was a bit disappointed, but that's where, when Winx suggested this main topic, I immediately thought, ah, Kamurocho. I know that like the back of my hand. I've played 0, 1, 2, and 3, and I know where everything is. A character will say, oh, need to look for blah, blah. Oh, the sushi restaurant. Ah, that's in the bottom left of the map. Oh, this street. Ah, I know where that is.
Okay, we've got to ship you off to Japan now. See how well you'll do, Lil Ace.
I think you're in for a surprise, Winx.
Get someone who plays The Division, send them to New York. they just stand there. I don't know where I am. That building's like not meant to be here. It was meant to, like, that one was on fire. That one was covered in garbage. Like, what's going on?
Go.
Where's the crash? Like, where's all the boats that like ran a dock?
Just don't play Rainbow Six games and expect to be able to find yourself around, find your way around, because as I've been finding, they just make up the insides of and the outsides. Oh, this is the Scottish Parliament. No, it looks nothing like that. That is a old castle. This I've looked up the Scottish Parliament on Google Maps, and it does not look like a castle.
But you know full well that was just someone that went, well, what do you think the Scottish Parliament looks like? Scotland, castles. That's probably just that they all live in castles. But then, like, I love Rainbow Six as an example, because, like, you think of when they revealed Rainbow Six Siege and the first map we got, House, which is notoriously the worst map in the whole game. That's meant to be a house. But it's also meant to be a house that two teams of five can have a gunfight in. And you just look at this house, you're like, who the fuck? One, has a house this big, and two, has a house that's laid out like this. Like, it's just terrible.
America.
Yeah, just a genuine, general American household. Yeehaw.
Has hatches on the floor.
Do you not have a hatch in your floor?
I live on a third floor flat, so no. I don't want people crawling up from below.
You mean you don't want to open the hatch and look down at your downstairs neighbour?
Hello.
What are you watching?
You got any beer? Just like a basket on some rope, just like put it down there, just like food, please.
We used to have buses like that here in Nottingham. You could, like, if you sat at the front on like the upper deck, you could look through a little glass thing at the driver. Really amusing when you're a child, but quite boring now that I've started to save the story, to be honest with you.
No, I'm enjoying it. Keep going.
And sometimes I would knock on the... No, I don't know. I've got nowhere else to go with this.
I think
the Midland's real.
The Midland's real. Well, actually, if you play Assassin's Creed Valhalla, you can learn the Midlands off the back of your hand there. But, you know, there may be some more, like, buildings in the way, but it's fine. You'll get around. Leicester's basically, like, a fucking dump site anyway, so you won't really... They won't be much different.
One less tree.
I mean, you can travel from the far south to the far north to the far south in Valhalla in about 20 minutes. And you can't do that in real life.
Nah, clearly you've never been on Northern Rail. Yeah, they fucking suck.
I think another good example, although definitely not me, is I imagine like people who play a lot of Monster Hunter. Like, because I mean, those are very small, not small, but like just a couple of environments. I imagine you get to a point where you're just like, I know exactly where all of the like resource points are, exactly when they respawn, and you've got the optimal route. But yeah, I couldn't even tell you like where a tree is in a forest in Monster Hunter.
Yeah. I tend to find that it's mostly multiplayer games that I get on with best. Like those games where like you really have to learn the lay of the land, like because you can't be tabbing in and out of like maps and stuff. Like you just need to know and crack on, sort of thing.
Dragon's Dogma I used to know quite well, but that was whilst playing it and before the thing happens where the map changes and then everything. Just that I've just made my point null and void. Actually,
I can imagine also like Bloodborne, because that's got a lot of weaving map kind of design where you kind of go back into yourself. Like a lot of people probably have learned that very well.
And I think we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Rhodes, Nikki, and Winx. And thank you for listening to this episode. Don't forget to check out gamegrin.com, where you'll find all of our writing. And keep an eye on social media. Just search for GameGrin to find out whenever a new podcast goes live, as well as the daily news, reviews, and articles. If you subscribe via Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Stitcher, thank you. And if you can leave a review on your platform of choice, an even bigger thank you. And finally, game on.